Bloomington and Normal were not unique. Just without working very hard of it, I came up with stuff on Elgin, Rockford, Peoria, Champaign, Urbana, Decatur, Springfield. Bloomington Normal was right in the typical pattern there. Now, what caused it? Well, there's something about national moods, and maybe it was the Birth of a Nation movie in 1915 that played here that somehow encouraged the Klan, and the Klan was big news around here in the 20s before it finally collapsed at the end of the decade. Certainly by the end of the 20s, the segregation pattern was in place. Hotels, restaurants, movie theaters up sitting in the far back rows.
There's an element of denial, even present today, that happened or could happen. I recall covering a panel on segregation at the Museum of History years ago, when a panelist by the name of Reggie Whitaker talked about having to enter State Farm Insurance by a separate entrance. And Ed Rust Jr. later commented to me that he didn't believe that could have happened.
I call it Bloomington Normal's secret. When I got working on this a few years ago, I began asking white people, you know, did we ever have racial segregation here? And nope, too far north. Or, nope, never heard of that. I gave a rough draft of the talk I was preparing to a African-American couple, and the wife told me, it was no secret with us. It was no secret with us. So it's kind of within the black community, but even the elderly blacks, because Willie Tripp, when he was president of the Black History Project at the Historical Society, once said, people don't know how bad it was. Even black kids don't know how bad it was. So I call it our secret.
How pernicious was it in Normal?
Apparently not in the schools. The interviews that Professor Mildred Pratt did, several people who were from Normal, blacks, commented they just knew no treatment other than what whites got in the school system up through high schools. Then at Illinois State Normal University, they began having separate dances, at least in the 20s. There weren't many black students then, and that continued well, up through, I think, World War II, or the beginning of World War II, perhaps it ended. So it in college, apparently, it was a little different as on the social scene. But cafes, barbershops, the Normal Theater when it began in 37, blacks had to sit way at the back there.
How did the way people congregate in public shift as well?
Normal only had Fell Park until very late in the period we're talking about. But at Miller Park, there would be quite clear lines between where blacks and whites were. And then in 1908, when the park board said there will be segregation in the swimming area with a separate changing house for blacks and a separate swimming area for blacks on the east end, that meant large protests, and then the Springfield race riot right after that in 1908 just squelched the discussion here, the debate here. And then they tried to get it going again after World War I and 1919, and then the Chicago race riot happened, really bloody. And that again squelched the debate here.
So there was cultural suppression from these outbreaks of violence.
Certainly, certainly.
As they were designed to do.
Yeah. And after 1908, black churches had been getting active in protesting. And then after the Springfield riot, one of the African-American ministers wrote a letter to the Pantograph, and he basically said, don't stand around on street corners. Don't say you want to get even. All that has to be ended. Undoubtedly, there was material like that that was not written in the newspaper because the Pantograph kept talking about all the rumors. So that helped put it in place by the 20s.
And how did it ease then? And how late did it ease?
In Normal, there are reports that during World War II, the theater seating began to ease. Black kids would, once the movie started, they would run around and sit down front. A black veteran, home on leave during the war, refused to move, and they didn't make him move. So by the end of World War II, the theater seating has ended. And then right after the war, 1947, a bunch of black and white veterans attending ISNU started picketing a cafe right by campus that refused to serve blacks. And they won. They won. The cafe, after a couple months, just gave in.
So this was ahead of the civil rights movement
ahead,
of the 60s.
And that may be, we need to think a little more about the civil rights movement. So 1947, we have Jackie Robinson playing with the Dodgers and entering Major League. 1948, Harry Truman desegregates the American military. So all these little things are starting to happen, and there are reports from around the country of protests by blacks. And this is before the Supreme Court's ruling in 1954 desegregating schools, and Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks at the end of 1955 on the bus in Montgomery, and then Martin Luther King's rise. So there's this buildup.
Who were the pushers for this change in normal that allowed it to happen a little ahead of the national mood?
In 1950, there is an organization formed, led by someone at State Farm, and then picking up some people from various churches in Bloomington Normal. And they were mainly looking at restaurants, which the segregation there was ending in the 50s. And then 1960, there was a Northern Illinois organization, Freedom of Residence, and the leader came down here and gave a talk, and so that earlier organization kind of melded into Freedom of Residence. And they, in the 60s then, began working on housing. And there were big fights. And you can kind of guess the arguments on should someone who's selling his house have a freedom to sell to whoever he wants to sell to? And so there were big fights, and reached the Normal Town Council and the Bloomington Council. And so there were fights in 1967 over how strong an ordinance Normal should have. Bloomington had just passed a very strong ordinance.
Prohibiting housing discrimination.
Prohibiting and just without any exceptions. And Normal was still playing with one that said if the owner occupied it, he could still sell whoever he wanted to sell to. And
but so much of this in housing is done not only by a wink and a nod with the realtor and the expectation that certain buyers are going to inquire about certain schools. It is also done by the people that belong to ethnic groups themselves. They
certainly
tend to segregate themselves because they are familiar with it. An Illinois Wesleyan University professor, Narendra Jaggi, has done some work about informal redlining that people do them to themselves. How do you get that to not happen?
Right, yeah. And that, of course, was a question then. I think they were looking at the more obvious ones then. Ralph Smith and his wife, Ralph was on the faculty at Illinois State.
And a founder of WGLT, we should add.
Oh, good. Their system was they would have a black couple respond to an ad of something, maybe an apartment for rent, and be turned down. And then an hour or so after that, Ralph and his wife would go. And they would be accepted. And they would do that over and over. So that system was the one mainly used then. And, of course, there were some real fights on it and fights in the council. Normal took a big advisory vote end of 67 and whether they should stay with the ordinance passed just a few months earlier that gave exceptions for owner-occupied apartments and houses. And almost half of the voters said, yeah, stick with that. almost half, a little less than half, said we don't need any ordinance. And then a large number said, yes, we need a stronger ordinance. So it was an enormous fight until then in 68, the state of Illinois passed a flat-out ban on any discrimination, and that's what we still have.
How did the churches in Normal contribute to that struggle? Were they as active as churches in the South?
Several of them. Not a large number, but several of the mainline churches. Ralph Smith called it sensitizing the churches, and they began taking little note cards that had things like, I refuse to discriminate on the basis of race and so forth. But some of the evidence was the other way. Reverend Jim Prine at the Campus Religious Center had his students take around Normal to the almost 300 homes that rented at least a room to students, asking if the owner would sign the statement, I will not discriminate on the basis of race, religion, so forth. 295 were taken. Only 5 would sign. Only 5 would sign in Normal. That's quite a comment on how far the mood had gone.
Pendulums swing. Sometimes they swing the other way. Despite Martin Luther King's assertion that the arc of history has long, but it bends toward justice.
Yes.
Does our culture stand in danger of expanding racial injustice in this time when anti-immigration settlement is rising in our political discourse?
That's always a danger. And when one looks back through history, one can have some fears. So it's a constant fight. And we don't always have a Martin Luther King to make the point. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, and people who believe in equal treatment just need to keep fighting in any way they can.
Mark Wyman is one of the speakers for the Normal 150 celebration. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.